This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about shichimi togarashi.
I just got out of the shower about a half hour ago, and in the shower...
You exfoliated using a bag of shichimi togarashi.
No, but while I was in there, I was realizing it had been a while since I had said shichimi togarashi, like, out loud, because I say it in my head all the time.
Right, you murmur it to yourself as you're going to sleep.
And so as I was in the shower, I was like, shichimi. Like, it's a little tricky for my native English-speaking tongue to get the right after each other. Shichimi, right? Shichimi?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
You got it.
Great.
All right. So we should probably explain what this is, because I think some of our listeners probably grew up with it or are very familiar with it, and some have no idea what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So let's go down memory lane.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Should we say what this stuff is, and then we'll go down memory lane? I mean, can you give, like, a brief summary of what this stuff is?
It's a flavorful spice blend made for sprinkling on ready-to-eat foods. It's a Japanese ingredient, and we are both very fond of it.
I have often seen people refer to it just as togarashi.
Yeah, togarashi is the Japanese word for, like, a chili pepper.
Oh, okay.
So that's one ingredient. Like, shichimi togarashi always has dried red chili in it. And shichimi means seven flavors. So it usually has seven ingredients total. The only one that's absolutely required is the crushed red chili.
So you could say either? What do the native Japanese speakers that you know
So either say? Either shichimi togarashi is like the whole long name, or just shichimi. Everyone will know what that is. Togarashi all by itself means like a chili pepper, so wouldn't necessarily indicate this ingredient.
All right, cool. Okay, let's go down memory lane.
My nose is itchy, maybe because I've been sniffing this spicy spice blend.
I'm going to go first.
Please.
So I think I remember encountering this, honestly, I think I remember encountering this for the first time in, like, a restaurant in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that this has been kind of trendy for a little while.
Yeah, I think so.
So anyway, that's where I first encountered it. But then my memory lane began to be truly paved. Before that, it was just a dirt memory lane. Because, you know, all the roads in Brooklyn are just, they're just dirt roads.
They're old, like, horse paths. And, you know, all the Brooklyn hipsters, they ride their horses and carriages while they're waxing their mustaches and making their artisan mayo.
Yep.
Is that it for Brooklyn stereotypes? Okay, great.
But I feel like those are kind of Brooklyn stereotypes from, like, 2009.
Oh, and, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I haven't received a fresh influx of Brooklyn stereotypes lately. I'm not sure. Like, I was about to say something about mason jars, but mason jars are extremely, like, 2008 or 9.
I know. Maybe
even 7. 7,
I mean, maybe
I
Brooklyn
think.
Has just gotten, like, boring. Which is fine.
Anyway, so in 2017, you and I went to Tokyo together, Matthew. Yes. Do you remember this? It was in October. We went for a week.
I vaguely remember this. It rained a lot.
It rained a lot, but I don't remember that like being a deterrent at
all. No, not at all.
And anyway, one of the things we did, all of our, you know, wandering around was generally informed by trying to get to some restaurant or food shop or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and most of it was done under umbrellas.
Yes. And you took me to this spice shop in Asakusa, which was the neighborhood in Tokyo where we stayed the first night. And we went there. Do they specialize in shichimi?
Yes. Oh boy, are we going to talk a lot about this shop.
And you could either buy their like ready-made mix, or you could have them like blend it for you using these like beautiful, as I recall, like enameled kind of vessels that they kept all the separate components in, and they would spoon it all into like a big bowl together.
Yeah, and like stir it up and then put it into a bag for you. And they had one of those plastic bag sealers that are so cool.
That was like really a really fun outing for me, even though I felt extremely bewildered by, like, you seemed quite confident about like, I want this much hemp seed and this much dried mandarin peel and this much togarashi and whatever.
It was all bluster.
You do. And I was pretty much like, I think I want the prepackaged one. I don't know.
If you summed up like my personality in a single word, it would be bluster.
Yeah, probably.
But oh, you've got one there. Nice.
I bought this little like dispenser that they sell, because I think a lot of our listeners will be familiar with the dispenser. It's usually like a little metal cylinder that has a cap, and the cap twists, and there's a little hole, and you line up the cap with the hole, and then you pour your shichimi togarashi from the hole.
Yes, and in fact, we encountered that canister even before we went to the store, because the first night we arrived in Tokyo, we went to a yakitori place for dinner and had grilled chicken, and that canister was sitting on the counter.
Would you give that place a shout out? Because that place was my hands down favorite yakitori thus far in life.
I'm going to have to look
at it. It was called Torihei.
Okay, yeah. I did
I'm
not even remember that. It was literally like, it was not a place I'd heard of. I just like got on Google Maps and was like, what's a nearby yakitori place? It was great.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Yeah, so we got like a sampler of various grilled chicken parts and vegetables on sticks. And this Yagenbori brand shichimi togarashi was sitting in the little metal canister on the counter. And I was like, oh, this is the spice shop we're going to go to.
Oh, nice. I did not remember that.
Yeah, no, I just remembered it like this morning and added it to the agenda.
I was so looking forward to today's episode. I was really looking forward to taping today's episode because I've been feeling a fresh wave of like pandemic grief and like sadness for all the summer plans that would have been. And so I feel like I'm kind of getting to like travel in my memory through this episode, Matthew.
I know.
I hope our listeners will feel that they get to travel with us.
I hope we can go back to Japan someday. Okay, so shichimi togarashi, it's a spice blend that's designed for sprinkling on food, and you can cook with it, but that's not really its primary use. I know what you mean when you say like it became a trendy ingredient. It was one of these things, and I like don't know like what's the right way to describe this process exactly, but it's this thing where white chefs become enamored with a particular international ingredient, and the messaging is like, you don't have to use this in the way that they use it originally in this culture. You can put it on anything, which is true, but also kind of like skips the whole like, you know, these are the delicious things that you do with this ingredient in its original context.
Well, yeah, I mean, it implies that what the original context was doing with it was not interesting enough.
Right, exactly. Or that I'm like a chef that's already become jaded, like, you know, I've had all the Japanese food that I need to have, like, let's talk about something else for a change. And I balk at this.
This is the epitome of the tone of Bon Appetit for the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was this, like, you think you know how to do something? No, you don't. We'll show you how to do it. Anyway, so yes, shichimi
to eat pho. Was that Bon Appetit? I think it was.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, but let's talk about what shichimi is in its original context and how people use it throughout Japan.
I learned so much about the history of Shichimi Togarashi over the last couple of days. I spent a lot of time on the Yagenbori website. Yagenbori is the brand of Shichimi Togarashi, the store that we went to, and like a popular brand.
I don't think I ever knew the name of it. Is that what my canister says?
It does. Yes, Yagenbori. Which is the name. Well, we'll get to what the name means. I don't know if you, Molly, are going to find any of this historical context interesting, but I had so much fun researching it and didn't know any of this. Okay, so
bring it on.
So Shichimi Togarashi, it's a spice blend, usually with 7 ingredients, and it has a long history in Japan. And one thing I didn't know is that for centuries, it has been associated with temples. And it particularly, like, you're coming from your hometown, you go to Tokyo or another city, you go to the big temple there. And one of the most important parts of Japanese culture is when you go on a trip, you bring back a gift for people back home, your coworkers, your family, your friends. And the gift has to be something that is like proof that you went on this journey, like, you know, a local food from the place that you visited. And in particular, you know, you go to Tokyo, you go to Asakusa, you go to the big temple there, Sensoji, and this is one of the key things that you bring back as a gift.
Ah.
That has been the case since the 17th century. So chili pepper first, let's start with, like, you know, this is based on chili peppers, which came to Japan via the Portuguese in the 16th century. And by 1625, people were making spice blends based on chilies because, like, anywhere chilies show up, people love them because they're delicious. And
that was fast, though, that they started making it into blends, right?
Yeah. So I think probably, like, spice blends had predated the arrival of chili peppers. But as soon as chili peppers showed up, people were like, hey, let's try adding this to a spice blend. I bet that's going to be good, right?
Yeah, that seems right.
So in 1625, during the Kane era, oh boy, this is
nice
going to be
job.
Rough.
Love your pronunciation.
A spice merchant called Tokuemon on the banks of the Yagenbori Canal, which is near what is now Nihonbashi, if you know Tokyo geography at all, started selling a spice blend based on dried red pepper. And it was so popular that the name Yagenbori became associated with the spice blend itself. So, like, you know, I'm going up to Tokyo, I'll bring you back some Yagenbori. That name became the brand name and the name of the store.
Wait a minute. So are you saying that the store that still exists, the lineage it comes from is like the lineage of the original Shichimi makers?
Yes, according to the
history given
to you. Like, if you read the corporate history from the store's website, then yes. Is that really like the whole truth? I doubt it.
I love that you have based this history on the corporate website.
Well, partly also on Japanese Wikipedia.
Okay. Okay, fair
right,
enough.
So, all right. So, I don't know, like any of the, like in Japan, like even more so like than a lot of other places, like if you are a store with a venerable history, you want to make sure that history is as like esteemed and lengthy as possible. So if you can find any link to anything from like, you know, 1400, you are going to splash that all over your website.
There's probably some
truth to it. Yes.
We've got to rewrite our company history on the Spilled Milk website.
That is so true. Okay. What is our... Well, I mean, your dad invented Altoids in the 18th century, right?
Yeah. He also... Didn't he? He was also an endive man.
He was also an endive man. And endive probably goes back even further than that.
Yes. I mean, back to some root cellar, right?
Well, yeah. I think... I mean, endive, it's like... This is our endive episode. You've just fallen into some sort of time vortex. Like endive, they blanch it by like mounding dirt around it, right?
Yeah, but wasn't it that some guy had some chicory roots in his root cellar and one of them sprouted in the dark and it was a endive?
Yeah, and that guy was your dad. He sprouted in the dark. That was how you came to be. You sprouted in a dark root cellar.
I did.
Should our show have like a trumped up corporate history, or should it have like a folktale history?
Oh, this is a really good question. I mean, the folktale history, would it involve any like magic?
Well, I just suggested that you sprouted like from a plant in a root cellar, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay. All right. Then I think we should go with like the folk history. Yeah.
Okay,
and
great.
I think that it should involve a river or a canal,
yeah.
Not just a birth canal.
Not Spilled milk, not just a birth canal. Oh, wow. Okay, so...
Okay, go on.
The shop that we went to opened in 1948 in that location.
Okay.
So, post-war. But meanwhile, in Kyoto and Nagano, other shichimi shops popped up near famous temples there. And I was not able to, like, confirm this theory, but my guess is that what happened was people from those cities were going to Tokyo, bringing back shichimi togarashi from the famous shop near the temple there. And people who owned shops near temples in Kyoto and Nagano were like, well, we need to be selling our own spice blend. We need to get in on this. And so... in Kyoto, there's Shichimiya. That's the famous shichimi togarashi shop in Kyoto. And it's located near Kiyomizu-dera, which is one of the big temples in Kyoto.
Does Shichimiya, does that mean shichimi shop?
It totally does.
Okay.
And it started out as a shop called Kawachiya in the 17th century. But they, after they became known for their shichimi togarashi, they rebranded as Shichimiya in 1816.
Okay.
And according to the corporate history on that website, they got their start selling mustard water. I could not figure out what was going on with mustard water. As far as I can tell, it is mustard seeds steeped in hot water and like consumed as a hot beverage.
Okay. Is that something that is still sold there?
The mustard water?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I'm not sure. If you have been to Kiyomizu-dera in Kyoto, which I know some, if not many of our listeners have, and you've been to this shop that's on the corner, like on the approach to the temple, was there mustard water? I want to know.
Okay. But wait a minute.
I did try like Googling around for mustard water, like, you know, Google image search, came up with pretty much nothing except this website. So I don't think there's still mustard water, but I don't know.
You also mentioned here that the Kyoto style of shichimi is considered the mildest in flavor.
Oh, yeah. And we'll go into like the specifics of the three different shops and how they concoct their own version.
Am I correct that is food in Kyoto in general considered to be like less spicy? I mean, I know Japanese food in general is not as spicy as some other cuisines.
Yeah, but Kyoto food definitely has the reputation of being mild.
Okay.
Subtle.
Cool.
Okay, so that's we've talked about the two of the three big shichimi togarashis. Let's talk about the third one, which is associated with the Zenkoji Temple in Nagano. The shop there is called Yawataya Isogoro, and that's it. That's the three big shichimi togarashi shops.
This is so fascinating to me. So wait a minute. The one that we went to in Tokyo, the Yagenbori one, that is like the most famous shichimi shop in Tokyo?
Yeah, probably in Japan as a whole.
It's so interesting to me that neither time we went in there, I mean, it's in one of those like covered malls, right? Mm-hmm. Like a covered arcade, like the Sun Mall in Nakano.
Yeah.
If anyone is familiar with that.
The one it's in is called Shin Nakamise.
Okay. Oh, Nakamise is like a shopping street?
Yeah, it's specifically a shopping street like that leads up to a temple.
Okay. Anyway, so it's so interesting to me that that shopping street was bustling, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, it leads to this massive and famous temple, but we never had to like wait in the store, and the store is tiny. The store probably holds like maximum of 8 people all crowded together. So it's so interesting to me that it could be that famous and yet people walk by it all the time and nobody thinks twice.
I know that is interesting. They do have other locations, including other locations in the neighborhood, but that's the original. So yeah, I don't know. It's not like the original Starbucks where there's always a line.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, I think there should be a line outside it, but I'm glad there isn't.
I mean, probably at some times there is. I don't know.
Is there a certain holiday that you would give someone spices for? Or is it like more just like I visited this temple and brought you back this special
food? I think it's mostly the latter, but I cannot say for sure that there isn't a holiday that would be associated with this as a gift.
Okay,
it's
cool. Possible. Maybe some of our listeners know.
Yeah. Can I keep going?
Please.
I learned so much.
I don't mean to slow you down. Keep going.
No. Please interrupt as much as you want because I don't really even want to listen to myself do this.
I do. I want to listen to yourself.
All right. So Each of these three major shops has its own style, and we'll get into some specifics on that when we talk about, like, what are the actual ingredients besides red chili. Most of the shichimi sold in Japan and outside is big national brands like House Foods and S&B. So, like, the House Foods shichimi jar is very recognizable. It's like a small glass, tall cylindrical glass jar, and when you open it, it has like one big hole for dispensing it rather than a bunch of holes.
And I think it has an orange lid or a green lid.
Yeah,
maybe the green lid is like furikake or something. Or...
Yeah, I think the orange lid is the is the shichimi.
When I was telling June this morning what we were going to be taping, she was like, "Is that the green powder or the red powder?"
Because she thinks question.
Of course, furikake and shichimi, you know, going together. We often pull them out at the same meal. Anyway, but I was like, the red stuff.
Yes. And we were originally thinking of doing a furikake and shichimi episode in one, but I learned so much stuff about shichimi that I was like, this is going to be its whole episode. We'll do furikake later.
Cool.
All right. Molly's just sitting in her closet sniffing a jar of shichimi togarashi. It looks like the most drugged out thing.
It's such a, like, I can't say nostalgic. I can't say it's like nostalgic for me because I am a person who has been to Tokyo twice and went the first time in my late 30s, but it makes me feel very nostalgic for being there.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I think it's fair to call that nostalgia.
Okay. All right. Go on.
The national brands seem to lean kind of toward the Tokyo style, and we'll get into like what makes the Tokyo style the Tokyo style. Actually, we'll get into it now because if you go to the Japanese Wikipedia page, I think maybe I'll like send Abby a screenshot of this because the chart I found so satisfying. There is a chart showing which ingredients appear in which of the three big shops shichimi togarashi. So now we can reveal the truth. All three of them include red chili flakes, ground sancho, which is green Sichuan peppercorns, and is a popular seasoning, especially for eel in Japan, but used for a lot of different things, hemp seeds, and black sesame seeds. So that's in all.
I don't even know what hemp seeds taste like.
So in your shichimi togarashi there, they're the biggest thing. They don't put in a ton of them, but there's like some pretty big seeds in there. Probably.
I don't even see any in mine.
Okay.
The shichimi I've got in here is the stuff I bought this year.
It's also possible that the hemp seeds don't go into the dispenser because they wouldn't fit out through the hole. But I think they're probably in there.
Well, but I bought a little packet and empty it into my dispenser.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, no, there are definitely hemp seeds in there then. Bless you.
It's making me sneeze,
yeah, Matthew,
and now
it's because you're sniffing red chili.
I need to blow my nose. Go on.
Okay,
all right. So hemp seeds.
Okay. So that's one of the greens to all of them. So Yagenbori in Tokyo adds to the four that I said so far, toasted red chili. So there's untoasted and toasted dried red chili, tangerine peel, and poppy seeds.
I'm going to look and see if I notice the poppy seeds in mine.
And like for me, I thought tangerine peel was going to turn out to be like a key ingredient because that's like one of the flavors that I really associate with shichimi togarashi, but it's not in all of them.
It's like not my favorite part of it. Sometimes I feel like I can really identify the tangerine peel and I'm like not that into it.
Okay. I really like it. To me, that's what sets it apart from like another chili powder. But as you'll see, so you might be more interested in the Kyoto style.
So shichimiya in
Kyoto, theirs adds shiso, white sesame, and nori flakes.
Oh, I think I would be super, super into that.
Let's go.
I think I would love that. Let's go.
Okay,
next time
we go to Japan, you've never taken the Shinkansen, right?
Matthew, I have only been to Tokyo and like roughly like, I don't think I've ever even left Tokyo because, like, Mount Takao is in Tokyo.
That's in Tokyo.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So next time we'll go to Kyoto. We'll go to Osaka. We'll go to Kyoto. We'll go to Shichimiya. We'll get some Kyoto style shichimi.
Gosh, this is giving me real wanderlust.
We can do this someday.
Okay.
Isogoro in Nagano, they add shiso, tangerine peel, and ginger.
Okay.
And one thing about to know about shichimi, it's a salt-free seasoning blend. So if you are a salt-sensitive person for any reason, you can use this.
Although I suppose if you're really salt-sensitive, the nori in the Kyoto version
has a little sodium. Yeah, you're right.
I think that's part of why I'd be really into it.
Yeah, no, that does sound good. Some of these are available on eBay. Like, I didn't check to see if the Kyoto one specifically was, but I might look into it.
Do we have any listeners in Kyoto?
Let's find out. If contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com. If you're in Kyoto, what? Oh, you're asking, like, if we have listeners who are just going to, like, send us stuff?
I just wonder if they would send us stuff. I mean, I will Venmo them.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yes.
If you're a listener in Kyoto and you would be up for an exchange, get in touch. Contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Woohoo!
Thanks. Okay. So Molly and I, as we mentioned, we went to Yagenbori, the one in Tokyo. And we talked about like what it's like. They've got the dishes of the seven ingredients behind the counter. And sometimes I will customize mine, not because I have any problem with the basic one. So like you can buy it in packets in like mild, medium, or hot. And the medium is the most popular. I like hot. I mean, I like all of them, but I will usually choose the hot. But sometimes I will ask to customize it just because it's fun to customize your own spice blend, right?
I know. It's so satisfying watching them like scoop up the, you know, the various components and put them in the bowl. And it's very satisfying. I love it.
Yes. So let's talk about what we put it on.
Okay. So Ash and I most frequently, hands down, put this stuff on. So if we have nothing else in the house to eat, we always have some sort of rice.
Yeah.
And we always have eggs. So we will fry an egg, put it on top of rice, take whatever vegetable we've got lying around. Right now I've got like some sauteed turnip greens.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, from my CSA. And I love putting a little bit of salt, like a nice kind of crunchy salt on my fried egg, and then shichimi on the fried egg and the rice.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, perfect.
I also add a drizzle of soy sauce to the rice because I am a child and I love soy sauce on rice.
I mean, could you like at least convince me that you're putting the soy sauce on the egg and it's running onto the rice?
No, I don't want it on the egg. That's the thing. Yeah. I want just the regular salt on the egg. But I want
like, This is like
you
a thing.
Hate me.
No. This is like a like an etiquette thing that like in Japan you're taught not to do, and yet people do that.
Are
most of those people children? Probably.
Yeah. No. I mean, I get that rice on its own is delicious, but I also love the flavor of rice with soy sauce. Kill me, sue me, as we used to say when we were kids. So sue me.
This is what you said when you were kids?
Oh, no, actually, when we were kids, if I said, I love the flavor of soy sauce on rice.
Why don't you marry it?
Yes, that's what you would have said.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man, that was such a sick burn when we were kids.
That
like,
was
sick. Sick burns hadn't even been invented yet. And
but
yet
that
we had them.
That was already so sick.
I know.
Okay. Anyway, the other thing.
And people
the
would say face. We talked about this before, right?
What?
Was this a thing in Oklahoma also? That
no.
Like if you zinged someone or like, you know, someone like. You, like got what they deserved, you would say face. I don't know why.
I don't remember that. Hold on. The other thing that we sometimes put it on, although we don't do this very often, is occasionally we have ordered like takeout from Udon, mm-hmm. which is a udon chain. I don't recommend it for takeout because, you know, like it's best when you just sit there. But somehow, especially in this pandemic time, we've had it a couple times as takeout. And I think that udon and the broth that udon is in were made for shichimi.
Yeah, I think that is probably the number one use of it in Japan for sprinkling on udon and soba. Yeah.
I am glad that I made it sound like I invented it.
Okay. You know, I need to send you, and this goes not just for you, Molly, but you, the listeners, because I will post it in the show notes. I've been making dipping udon at home, like zaru udon. I have figured out like the proportions I like for the dipping sauce, and like I put in pork if I've got it, and scallions, and onions, and I don't even remember what else, but it is so good.
Please share.
Yeah, and I've been buying frozen udon from Owajimaya, which is very good, but also dried udon would be delicious. And I'll share that.
Okay,
it's super easy to make.
And then you put shichimi on that
as
well?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, it's so sprinkle it on udon or soba. Ramen, like many, many ramen shops will have it available. That's classic. It's great on any hot pot dish. I made sukiyaki for dinner on Saturday and sprinkled some shichimi on that. That's great.
Yum.
There's some leftovers I'm going to sprinkle again.
Okay.
Yakitori, obviously. Fried eggs, we just talked about. Popcorn.
Ooh,
is one of those things.
Popcorn.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things, like, you know, that a non-Japanese chef or food writer will say, so you're bored with putting shichimi togodashi on other stuff. Try it on popcorn. It is good, though.
How is it with, you know, I remember the episode where we talked about was it the first episode of the show, the fried egg episode,
yeah,
when we made kimchi fried rice?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so I remember talking, I think during that episode, about how delicious the flavor of kimchi is with butter.
Mm-hmm.
And how is shichimi with butter?
I don't know if I've tried it, but like in my mind, it sounds great.
Because I'm thinking about the flavor of popcorn and buttered popcorn, you know, like made at home, like with real butter. And then with shichimi on that. And I just feel like it would be really delicious with the flavor of butter.
Okay, let's try it.
Let's try it. I don't have any popcorn.
I do. I'll
you
try
do?
It. And
I never
I'll
make
tell you
popcorn.
About it. I don't make popcorn often enough. I always think around dinner time, like, oh, I should have made some popcorn. Or like maybe sometimes I'll make popcorn after dinner, like for with a movie or a show. I know that's a wild thing to do.
That's crazy. Wow. Do you? And so you buy actual like kernels?
I buy actual kernels. Yeah.
And
actual kernel.
I've never popped popcorn like that. I've only made my
what? Popcorn. Oh my God.
I know it's true.
Just when
I've
I think like
made regular
the,
popcorn.
The well of things that everyone has done but Molly, like we've gotten to the bottom of that well and we've dredged it all out or whatever it is you do with a well. No, that is a bottomless well.
It is.
It's like
it is.
That is the folktale at the heart of our show, is that we have access to a bottomless well of stuff Molly has never done. And if you fall into that well, you will be falling forever and pass a lot of ordinary things like popcorn.
Yeah.
Homemade popcorn, like popped in a pot, is the best.
Can you maybe give me a lesson?
Yeah, I can give you a lesson. I think we did a popcorn episode. Like I think I probably gave you this lesson in person.
Well, I don't know if I've told you, but so as you may recall, on our way to Tokyo when we went there this past Christmas, I started watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy again on the airplane because they had it free on whatever we were on.
Yeah, we weren't on the same flight, but...
But we were on the same airline.
Yes.
And they had the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy, all the Harry Potter movies, etc.
Sure.
So on the way over there, I was like, this is the perfect
time. That's a long flight. So you were able to get through part of one Lord of the Rings movie in 10 hours.
I think I watched the first one and then half of the second one on the first flight. And then on the way back
home. So you watched One Tower.
I watched One Tower, exactly. Anyway, then on the way back home, I watched the second half of the second movie and the third movie. And as you know, because I've talked about it recently, Ash and I recently watched the whole trilogy over again, like all 10 hours of it, including the extended version.
I was just going to ask.
Of The Return of the King. So now we're making my mom watch it, which means we're watching it again. Well, I mean, what else do we have to do now?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So we're halfway through the two towers. We're one tower in.
One tower in,
with my mom. Anyway, but I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm not due for a grocery run today, but I kind of want to go out and get popcorn kernels so I can make popcorn for us to watch it tonight.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you do, let me know and I will send you my popcorn instructions, which I did not invent. I invented the concept of popping popcorn in a pot. Yeah, no, like home popped popcorn, like with plenty of oil and salt, is just perfect.
Okay.
And you can try some shichimi on some.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay.
Okay. So another thing I learned when I was researching this episode, I'd had shichimi flavored rice crackers, like senbei, where the shichimi is sort of glued onto the surface of the cracker in the same way that, like, you know, Molly can't hear me because she has her headphones off, but I'm saying some really interesting things.
I had a real itch on the inside of my ear. Now, I heard you were talking about gluing shichimi onto rice crackers.
Right. So in the same way that you know what I'm realizing? I think the American shichimi togodashi is ranch powder.
Oh, but we don't actually put it on many things other than like sour cream and turn it into a dip.
It seems like we should, right?
It seems like we should. I wonder what it would be like to do something like, well, I don't know if you can expose ranch powder to heat. I wonder if it tastes really weird if you do that.
That's a good question.
But I wonder if you took something like grilled shrimp or something. It's maybe like a little bit smoky and it's already cooked and just toss it in a little bit of ranch powder.
That sounds pretty good.
I wonder if that'd be weird though because of the buttermilk flavor. Maybe chicken.
Mm-hmm. Either way.
I don't know.
Speaking of which, shichimi is great on karaage, Japanese fried chicken.
Oh, so I was going to say that here in Seattle, Union Saloon, which is a restaurant in Wallingford, they make great fried chicken thighs, where the seasoning is shichimi togarashi, and it
awesome.
Is delicious, served with a little mound of pickles.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's so good.
What I didn't know that is sometimes available in Japan, like I found it as like a limited edition item. Like one thing they do really well in Japan is like, you know, our snack food or, you know, chain restaurant has partnered with some sort of famous brand or like upscale restaurant. And we're like, you know, doing a crossover. And there was a series of, I think probably Kalbi chips, not Kalbi like Korean short ribs, but Kalbi brand of Japanese potato chips, where they partnered with, I think, Shichimiya or one of the big three shichimi togarashi shops to make shichimi togarashi potato chips with the actual shichimi from that shop, which sounds so good.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Wow. Do you ever buy shichimi seasoned rice crackers at Uwajimaya?
I have, yeah.
How are they?
Delicious.
Oh, I would love some.
I think, like, something you said, like, I think shichimi, like, does not take well to being, like, cooked on high heat because it has lots of stuff in it that could burn, which is why it is so often sprinkled on things that have, like, a broth. Having it kind of dissolve in and flavor a broth is really one of the best ways to enjoy it, I think.
It makes it, it really draws out the aromas of it. Because there's a little bit of fat in the hemp seed, a little fat in, like, any sort of peel that's in there, right? It's going to like kind of bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the chili peppers.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm done.
That was not too heavy on the learning at all. I feel like I could keep going. Tell me more.
One thing I'm wondering now is like, and I think the answer is no. Like if you ask like the average home cook in Japan, are they familiar with the concept that there are three famous shichimi togarashi shops? I think probably mostly not, but maybe.
I wonder if it's something like, it's kind of like when you talk about American barbecue, right? Like,
sure.
I imagine that there are some people who are like, oh, every American knows how Memphis barbecue is different from Kansas City barbecue is different from whatever. Well, the truth is I think that most of us don't know. We only know the one that's like closest to the one that's available where we are.
Yes. Like, or failing that, Kansas City barbecue, which is like the de facto national barbecue, I think.
Right. So I wonder if it's a little bit like that, where it's like something that everyone uses, everyone knows the flavor of, like barbecue sauce. But I wonder if it's sort of like how most Americans probably really can't tell you the difference between different cities' style of barbecue. Maybe, I don't know how much Japanese people know about other cities. Let's just speculate about what other people in other countries know.
Well, okay, but here's what I want to do. I want you and I, like, you know, sometimes people will go to Japan and go on like a pilgrimage, like where you like walk around the perimeter of Shikoku and visit 88 temples or something like that. I want you and I to go to we've been to one now. We've knocked one off our list. I want to go to the other two famous shichimi togarashi shops. So we just need to get to Kyoto and Nagano. And then we're going to have a tasting.
Oh,
we'll cheese plate them.
Okay. Okay, cool. I also want to go to Osaka because I haven't been there.
Well, Osaka is very close to Kyoto, so that'll be easy.
Perfect. Great. But I'm going to make you go to a lot of temples with me. And I know that. Okay, cool. So work up your temple stamina.
I'll be the person at the temple standing with a packet of shichimi togarashi, like dipping my finger into it like a made fun dip.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Great.
All right.
Okay.
It's always great getting to spend this time with you.
It's always great getting to spend this time with you.
Wow. It sounds like we've been either taken over by robots or held hostage.
It sounds like we've been locked in our houses for 3 months.
Also, my chair is squeaking. That's what that sound was.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Okay.
But it sounds like you're making excuses for something else.
Yeah, probably. All right. You can find us at the one or more of the three famous Shichimi Togadashi shops.
Again, if you are in Kyoto or nearby, and you feel like sending us some Shichimi Togadashi, we will gladly Venmo you. We will we'll give a shout out to you on air. I didn't even ask Matthew for permission before I said that.
Oh, no, we can do that. Okay, that would be awesome.
Also, we're going to be doing a Furikake episode soon.
So send us that, too.
So send us that, too. No, but what I wanted to say is that stay tuned for that. If you didn't get enough Japanese spice knowledge, well, stay tuned.
Yeah, I started researching Furikake, and it has a very interesting story.
I can't wait. I'm excited. Okay. Yeah, you can find us wherever you already found us.
SpilledMilkPodcast.com, Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast.
You can submit ideas for what our folktale corporate history should be.
Yeah. Like, I think it needs to involve, like, for some reason, a lizard is coming to mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll work on that. So far it's got a well. It's got a bottomless well. It's got a root cellar.
A root cellar and a lizard.
And a lizard. Okay,
like, if you can take those, there's got to be like an epic yarn in those three ingredients.
Okay. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
What's her origin story? We don't know.
What is Abby's origin story?
We know that she sprouted in Hungary.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. Wasn't she born here?
Yeah,
but then grew up
so.
In Hungary? Okay, so she didn't sprout in Hungary, but she blossomed there, didn't you, Abby? Okay. All right. So, thanks for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that's a little bit spicy and tastes great. So sprinkle us on everything.
I'm Matthew Epster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Oh,
you froze. Oh, no.
No, I think we're fine.